Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
Today, the ruins of the ancient city of Corinth stand as a reminder. A reminder that at one time, that city was an important hub of activity in the country of Greece. It was a city that was strategically located on a strip of land just 4 miles wide that connected the northern part of Greece with the southern part. And there was a port, there was a harbor on the east and on the west. And so Corinth was a major trade route, both by land and by sea. And all travelers in that region passed through that city. So Corinth became a city of great commercial prosperity, became a city of great wealth, a center of business and of finance. It was a city of many well-educated intellectuals, a cosmopolitan city of Greeks, and of Jews, and of Romans, of those from the East and from the West, a mixture of various cultures and various religions, mixture of merchants and sailors, the home of a major sporting event each year. Corinth had it all. It was a city that prided itself on its individual achievements and on its self-fulfillment, perhaps like many people do today. But Corinth was also a city that was well known back then for its extreme immorality. And so to be called a Corinthian was the same as being labeled as one who had abandoned himself or herself to great moral depravity. And not surprisingly, Corinth was also the center of the worship of the goddess Aphrodite. A goddess not so much of love, but a goddess of lust. And the early church in that city found it difficult to detach themselves from their past. They found it difficult to restrain themselves from their worldly desires. They found it difficult to distance themselves from the sin that was all around them. Like many in the church today, they wanted the blessings that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ, but at the same time, they wanted the pleasures of the sin of this world. And it is to this church in that city that Paul writes a letter. A letter that has come to be known as 1 Corinthians. And Paul had a special love for those people in that fellowship because it was during his second missionary journey that he founded that church. And he stayed there for some 18 months, teaching them the word of God and encouraging them and strengthening them and grounding them in the truth. But when he had first arrived there in that city, he was all alone. And perhaps he was a little bit discouraged, because in every city north of Corinth, every city in the northern part of Greece, he had encountered severe opposition to the message of salvation, and ultimately he had been forced to flee those cities for his life, cities like Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea. And he didn't have much encouragement in the city of Athens either. And even though he had arrived in the city of Corinth in great weakness and in fear and in much trembling, still he pressed on. And he went into the Jewish synagogue there, and he preached the good news of Jesus Christ to them. Well, that is until the Jewish leaders forced him to leave. So what did he do? He went next door to the home of a man we are told who was a worshiper of God, a Gentile. And Paul continued to preach the message of salvation there. And so, the church was born in the city of Corinth. And when the time came for him to leave, he went into the region of Asia Minor to the city of Ephesus. And after some time there, a word got back to Paul that there were problems in the church in Corinth. It had been only perhaps a few years since he had been there, but they'd gotten off track. Things were a mess in that church. And so he wrote a letter to them. But somehow that letter got lost along the way. And so he wrote another letter to them. And that letter is the one that has become known as 1 Corinthians. So he begins this letter by first identifying himself as Paul, their spiritual father, their spiritual teacher, the one, he reminds them, who has been called Kletos in Greek. He has been chosen by God. Hasn't been chosen by men, but he hasn't been chosen on the basis of his personal excellence or because of his position or because of his status, but he has been sovereignly appointed as an apostle, apostolos in Greek, as a special messenger of God who has been sent on a mission to them as the voice of Jesus Christ, according to the will of God. Paul affirms his right to speak to the people in the church in Corinth. He asserts that what he is about to say to them comes from God himself. These are not his opinions. No. What he is about to say to them may be difficult for them to hear. But he says, listen to me. Listen to me as you would listen to Jesus Christ. And along with me, here in Ephesus, Paul tells his readers, is Sosthenes, our brother in Christ. People in the church in Corinth would have known Sosthenes very well, and he would have known them. You may recall, back in Acts chapter 18, Sosthenes was a leader in the Jewish synagogue in Corinth, and he brought Paul before the municipal court, which was administered by the Romans, by Roman authority, but that magistrate threw out the case against Paul, and he threw out Sosthenes as well, since the charge that was being brought against Paul was a religious matter. It wasn't a civil matter. So we are told Sosthenes was beaten, perhaps by his own people, for having failed to have Paul convicted of the charge. But now we find out Sosthenes had come to Christ. Now he was no longer an enemy of the cross. Now he was a brother in the Lord. And so Paul writes this letter, perhaps dictating it to Sosthenes. And in verse 2, he begins by saying, I am writing to the church of God. I'm not writing to the church of the Corinthians. I'm not writing to the church of the leadership in Corinth. No, I'm not writing to them. I'm writing to a body of believers. I'm writing to a body of believers who have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. You belong to him. This is not their church. This is not our church. We're only stewards of what he has entrusted to us. We're responsible to faithfully represent him in his church. A church which, for them, was located in the city of Corinth. Certainly a challenging assignment. And Paul addresses them this way. He says, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Hagiazo in Greek. You have been set apart from the world by him. You no longer belong to the world system. You are saints. Hagios in Greek. You are the holy ones. Not because of you, but he says, by your calling. Because of the righteousness of Christ. Because of his blood that was poured out for you. This is who you are in him. You need to remember that. That is who we are in Christ. But the question is that how we are living our lives? Are we living our lives as those who have been set apart for Jesus Christ? Those who are the holy ones? Take courage, Paul tells them. You're not alone in this. You are a body of believers with the same kind of faith as all who, in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord, and our Lord as well. Those of us who truly belong to Jesus are in this together. We're one. We're brothers, we're sisters in Christ. So Paul says to them, as believers, grace to you, charis in Greek. May the favor, may the blessing of our Lord rest upon you, just as he has blessed you with the gift of the salvation of your souls. And peace to you. Peace to you all. Eirene in Greek. May you live with tranquility in your heart and in your mind, since now you have peace with God our Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. May that peace rule your lives. The guilt of our sin is gone. Christ has taken that guilt upon himself. So Paul tells them, rest in him. And he says in verse 4, I thank my God always, panate in Greek, at all times concerning you, which is an amazing thing, isn't it? Considering what was going on in Corinth. I thank my God, he says, because you believe the truth. I stand in awe of the grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus. That he's opened your eyes to the truth, even in the midst of that situation, in the midst of that sin all around you, a sin in your own life. He has shown you the truth. He's held back nothing from you, but in everything, Paul says in verse 5, in every way, you were enriched in him. You have been given every spiritual blessing. They already had those blessings. Didn't have to ask for them. They had them. We have been given all that we need, we are told in 2 Peter 1:3, for life and for godliness. In Christ, we have what we need to sustain us. We have the spiritual resources to live for Him. So that, Paul says, in all our speech, in all our words, in all of our knowledge, we know the truth. We know the truth. So we can speak the truth. And so we can live out that truth in our lives. This word's clear. It's like the church in Corinth. We who know Christ know the will of God for our lives. We know that He wants us to live so that our lives bring Him honor and glory. We know it. Question is that how we are living? Paul says, even as the testimony concerning Christ, the truth of salvation that He offers to us, was confirmed in you. Paul tells the church, He's established you. Bebaio in Greek. He has made you to stand firm. The truth has been settled once and for all in your hearts. You're full. You're rich. You're rich with the blessings of God. So that because you believe the truth, Paul says, you are not lacking. Hustereo in Greek. You don't come up short in any way. Don't come up short in any gift. Charisma in Greek. The gift of grace, the gift of eternal life, the gifts of the Spirit of God, all that you need, all that we need to serve Him, all that we need to minister for Him, all that we need to live for Him. We already have what we need, Paul tells the Corinthians. We are complete in Him, complete in Christ. But we need to put into practice what we already have, don't we? We need to live a life that is pleasing to Him. But Paul reminds the church in Corinth of this. He says, not only has God extended His grace to you in the past, in your salvation, not only has He extended His grace to you in the present, in equipping you to live for Him, but He has put the hope of heaven in your heart. You have a hope. You have a hope for the future. It says in verse 7, you are awaiting eagerly. Apedekomai in Greek. You have an attitude of expectation. You are looking for the revelation, apokalypsis in Greek. Looking for the unveiling of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will return and who will be revealed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, that is our hope, isn't it? Well, that is our expectation. The day when every knee will bow before Him. And Paul says, until then, in verse 8, He shall also confirm you. Again, it is the Greek word bebaio. He will cause you to stand firm. He will guarantee it. That's what the word means. He will guarantee that you will stand even until the end. Telos. Until the outcome of all things. And because you belong to Him, Paul says you will be found blameless. Anenkletos in Greek. You will not be judged as enemies of God. You will not be held accountable as those who do not believe. You will find no spot, no blemish in you. An amazing thing. You will not be condemned in the day of judgment, in the judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through it all, though we may be unfaithful, Paul says, God is faithful, pistos in Greek. He is the one who is reliable. He is the one who is trustworthy, through whom you were called into fellowship, koinonia, into a partnership, into a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord, that cannot be broken. This is the ground upon which we stand. This is our confidence. This is our hope. He is ever faithful to his word. We need to remember that in these times of difficulty. Christ will be exalted forever. Satan will be defeated forever. There will be justice for those who have died in Christ. There will be punishment for those who have rejected him. And there will be the joy of heaven for those of us who truly belong to him. Joy in his presence forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.